Order. This Beautification Environmental Advisory Committee is officially at order, and let's do the Pledge of Allegiance. Behind you here. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay.
I think they need some new chairs.
Hey, we're saving money. All right, roll call. Why don't we start down at that end and...
John Capcar.
Joanna Salkowitz.
Jeffrey Seib.
And Ken Jones. And we have Bill Butler here as well. Okay. Minutes of the last meeting. Everybody get a chance to read them?
Yes.
Any corrections, changes? Okay, I'll entertain a motion to accept the minutes as posted.
I make a motion that we accept the minutes as posted.
Okay, a second?
And I'll second it.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? No. All right. And now we've got new business, upcoming landscape code changes.
Yes, I want to put this on the agenda today. Jeffrey is was kind of concerned about that. We kind of saw the planning board was looking at something. And this is really nothing I even had any involvement with. They evidently had a, and I've talked to the property owner. It's on Old Kings Road. It's, you know what the old Pizza Hut is, the China Buffet? It's the next lot to the north on that same side of the road. There's two lots right next to each other. Then there's the doctor's complex there. It starts with an A. I can't remember what it is, but they've been trying to develop it. Keep saying they don't have enough room, and staff keeps telling them, bind the two together, and then you will have enough room, but they don't want to do that. So they've been talking to some attorneys and things, and they wanted to get the buffer reduced. So right now it's 35 feet, and they wanted to get it reduced to 20. So they brought it up to the planning board, and this is the presentation that staff put together. So I really wasn't going to go through it, but since it's on the computer, I think, why not, right?
Mm-hmm.
And let's just see what was presented. This is where they were wanting to amend Section 11.03, Landscape Parks and Irrigation, and specifically the perimeter buffer. They're trying to get some justification. There's usually five criteria that have to be met before a variance can be issued, and this project didn't really meet any of them, but still the planning board voted to do it for this one property. And it's an aging commercial quarter, which it is. It is largely built out. A lot of the properties there don't have the 35-foot buffer, but there's still some vacant properties that do. Some of the properties that are been there for a while, like the bowling alley, they do have it. And so... there are properties existing that do have that property.
Bill, what about the strip of professional offices where they have, like, the lab core and there's some physical therapy? They're set back pretty far.
Yeah, they have it, too.
I know my veterinarian, the community animal hospital, does not have it. It's built right. It's next to the bowling alley.
But it's basically, it's in my little markers, starting Old Kings Road, this area.
Starting right here.
And it runs all the way up to Front Street. And there's a lot of the social clubs back in here, and almost all the social clubs meet it. And you can see there are some vacant properties still left yet that do have it. This is the current zoning. It's the red is the commercial future land use amendment. You can read it. It's they're required to show that, so it's predominantly commercial. This is the perimeter buffer table that's in our code now, and the way we determine what the buffer is, we look at the adjacent property buffer, and then the scale of the proposed development. So this table is a little wrong because they took it right off of Muni code, and this is the column that's supposed to say scale existing development. So it doesn't say it on there. So it's a little bit of a glitch. So if the existing development is a high and your proposed development is a, say, a high, they have to have a C-type front buffer. And the C-type front buffer is a 20-foot buffer in the front. It's also, yeah, they're all 20-foot buffers in the front. And then this is the 10-foot on the sides. If it's a very high, the proposed against a, say, a low or a medium, they'd have to have one of these, which is usually a 25-foot buffer or a 10-foot wide buffer with a masonry wall.
What do you mean by scale of proposed development? The size of the building that's going in?
The number of buildings. Intensity. Right. It's really an intensity. You know, so a single family and agriculture are low, very low.
Oh, that's what you're talking about. So for a commercial, this is commercial property we're talking about.
It's low to medium, and then office is medium, commercial is high, industrial is very high.
And this is retail. These are retail, I assume, establishments that we're talking about, because
right,
that's down the corridor there. So where they are, what they fall in the high to very high?
Yeah, they would be. In this case, I think it'd be. We'll see. It's down in here. We'll get to that.
Oh, okay.
This is the collector. Now we have other cities have overlay districts. For instance, Ormond Beach has their Granada Boulevard overlay district, which is a 35-foot buffer. Port Orange has their Dunlawton overlay, which is also a 35 to 50-foot buffer. So it's not like other cities don't have this. And really, when Palm Coast was started, you know, I was a consultant on that before I worked for the city, and I worked for Ormond, and we kind of really fashioned it out of the Ormond Code. So we decided there were certain roads that should have a higher level of buffering, and when we first started out, there weren't this many roads, but subsequently they were added when we did some other, I think in 2008, we added several other ones. So you can see all the ones. All these would have to have a 35-foot buffer. Now, what they're proposing is just in this certain area here of Old Kings Road and Palm Coast Parkway, excluding the frontage along these roads, Old Kings Road North, from Palm Coast Parkway to Frontier Drive and Palm Coast Parkway, beginning at Old Kings Road and going
north
of Florida Park Drive, which is really north,
really east, isn't it?
So those are the areas. And a lot, like I said, a lot of those areas, those are pretty much developed now. You know, the Walgreens that's right there, that's a perfect example of what you would get if you only had a, you know, a 10-foot buffer, because that's all they've got. And that was done before we became the city. That was under county jurisdiction. So, and they've got the same number of trees in that 10-foot buffer as you would have normally in a 35-foot. So that's why everything's so crowded. You know, you got magnolia trees 10 feet apart, and, you know, it's just very crowded, which really kind of goes to the detriment of people saying, well, you're screening our business. You know, why do we have to have so many plants? Well, my thought is, if it's a wider buffer, you can spread them out a little bit. You know, you can get views into the site, but once you shrink it down and you don't shrink the plants, you're going to have a pretty thick wall.
What does ABC have for a buffer, Bill?
What's that?
What does ABC Liquor have for a buffer?
I still can't
hear. ABC Liquor?
Yes.
What do they have for a buffer?
Now, that is a unique situation. They are on the corner, and before that property even developed, the property line was in the pavement of the road. In the pavement, that's where the property line was. And then, when we did the sixth lane, we had to do a taking, so we took even more property. So, that really doesn't, you can't compare that one at all.
Okay.
We couldn't force the property owner to maintain a 35-foot buffer, because it would make the property totally undevelopable, and it's because we had to take the property. So, I was hoping we would have made a park out of it or something, but they were wanting too much money for it. So, that's why that one looks different. So, the Planning and Land Development Regulation Board requested that staff draft an amendment excluding those areas from the 35-foot buffer. And this amendment you see is a response to that. As directed by City Council, staff is currently drafting a comprehensive sense of amendments to Chapter 11. You know, this still is in process. Nothing has really been done except that one lot. That one lot has been approved for a 20-foot buffer, but nothing else. Not this whole thing. Engineers is running point on this, Bill Hoover, and I've been consulting with them, and we really even haven't met as a staff on this. We had tried to meet a couple times and it was canceled, but we have to meet together as a staff. I have my comments on what the draft is. The draft was based on stakeholder meetings they've had with the Volusia County and Flagler County Committee for Responsible Development, you know, B card or F card, as you would call it. And they've made some comments, and then they want to see these things. So we were directed, Hoover was directed to go ahead and put that in the code. You know, what was reasonable? There was some requests that we didn't even consider, but put it in there just for discussion purposes. So that's what we're looking at now. That's what I'm commenting on. I'm going to be looking at that. I'm going to have comments like, I don't agree with this, or I do agree with this, or maybe we should do this. You know, so we're going to sort it out internally before we send it out to anybody. You guys will get a shot at the first draft of that, as will the planning board. The planning board's recommendation will go to council, and yours can go as a recommendation. You know, so if you have any feelings about it, you can send a recommendation as well. There's nothing that says you can, but it's not binding or anything. You know, they don't have to even discuss it at the meeting, but they will see it. So,
what is the reasoning of the planning board if none of the five reasons for a variant were met? Why did they go ahead and do it anyway?
Good question.
Yeah. Okay, because I really just don't understand that at all. I mean, we put up a code, we try to maintain it, we've done it with a lot of other businesses that would probably like to say, geez, I'd like to be up closer to the road so I can be seen and everything else. And to make a variant for this group just doesn't seem to make any sense. It doesn't even meet any of the criteria that's been established for doing a variant.
But wait a minute now. You're just talking about the variant of those two lots.
Yes.
The rest of it, the whole corridor, that has nothing's been done with that yet. That's still opened up for, that doesn't have to go through to the 35 feet or to 20.
When staff brought this back, the board made no motion on it. It was a voted on in the discussion.
As far as the amendment.
Yeah.
So far.
So here, you wanted it. Here it is. We're not voting on anything.
Okay.
So, but those recommendations, the same recommendations, will probably be in the mix of what we're talking about, unless we decide to vary a little bit.
Right.
I have my own feelings about it. There's been stuff in the paper. I know Jeff has written something. There's something in the paper today about it, you know, and people talking about, you know, that's why they moved to Palm Coast. This is the ambience of the community. This is what made us different, made us special.
Absolutely.
You know, we don't give this up, you know. And, of course, then you have the other hand that, you know, economic development. You know, it's part of our, you know, if you look back in that PowerPoint, the reasons, justification, prosperity 2021. So it's into development, redevelopment, and growth, you know, which we give them more property. Yeah, they're going to grow. They're going to have it be easier for them to grow. Be cheaper for them, and they're looking too about the sizes of the trees, the shrubs, not only buffer widths, but other things too. So, in my opinion, I think the code needs to be revised? Yes, I think there's some stuff in there that we can tweak and make a little better. I mean, we've had this since 2008. I think there's some things we can do that make it better. We've seen what works, what doesn't. So, I don't think we're throwing the whole thing out and starting over by any means. So that's kind of where we are. And I really wanted to bring this to you guys today because I didn't want you to think that you know, they went behind your back and did something. And, you know.
Bill, if they allow them to do this, isn't this going to open up doors for other companies and they're going to take the same criteria?
Well, to me that almost sets a precedent. You know, well, they did it. Why can't I?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, there goes the whole thing. Yeah, you have on here the justification and prosperity of the aging commercial corridor. This commercial corridor will be seeing a new renaissance in a very short time that will turn it from an aging to a brand new commercial area because of the four-laning of Old Kings Road and the giant shopping center that's there. There's going to be loads of traffic on that corridor. They really don't, you know, this is not it's not needed. I don't see what the reasons are, except for the builders wanting to stick a little extra square footage, perhaps, of their property onto these lots. And it's an odd setup. We're just talking about the, what would it be, the east side as you go up? It would be the east side is the undeveloped commercial property, correct? The west side is the homes. There's not going to be any...
No.
Well, I think it's...
Am I wrong on that? Yeah, that's the picture.
Yeah, the west side.
No, I'm sorry. It's both sides. See that line?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's both sides of the road.
Right.
That whole area. So, anyway, I was at a meeting yesterday. It was a 60% design meeting for the Holdings Road 4 lane, in that stretch. And we're going to make kind of like Gulf Coast Park. There's going to be nice medians, landscaping, in the medians and on the side of the road. We may have to take some property here and there to accommodate things. So here again, what happens if you reduce a buffer to 20 feet, then we have to take 10 feet? What do you got?
Nothing.
With a big buffer, you've got some flexibility. If you have to put a sidewalk in it because you're not moving the sidewalk in the right way, you can do it without much issue. If you have utilities that have to be put, they can't put them in the right way because of air. You have to go in the buffer. If you have that in the buffer, you can't plant a tree on it. So you're really, that's one of my thoughts, is that you're really putting yourself in a corner by reducing that buffer because you have less flexibility.
Less flexibility.
What can we do at this point, from at least our group, in terms of recommendation or?
If you want to put a little list together, if you have your own thoughts about things you've seen that you think need to be changed, or things that you were going to fall on your sword for and not have changed, those are the kind of things that would be good. And you're welcome to pool your thoughts and draft a letter up among you and. Or individually, I guess, but I don't want to get too much into it today, but just get thought, because this is going to be a long process. This isn't going to be happening in the next couple of months.
Okay.
I think we're looking at the first of the year to start getting into some of the public hearings and that kind of stuff.
But as far as the variant for the two properties, that's been approved?
Yes.
So is there anything for those two? That's a done deal, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Ooh, yes.
Now they did not reduce the number of trees and shrubs that have to go in there, so you're going to get a situation like the Walgreens where you have trees on top of trees.
Right.
But that's just something we're going to have to deal with.
As far as the 35 to 20, anything, nothing is set in stone at this time for any distances. So it could be, if not 35 or 20, it could be somewhere.
25,
in between, that may be more suitable to your expertise as a landscape architect. You've done all this work.
Right.
You know what the absolute minimum would be, and what you're saying about having to take a little property and squeeze it back,
and
you end up having nothing.
Sometimes you have these big ditches, Right. And if the property line's down the bottom of the ditch, where have you got to landscape? If the landscape buffer is small, you got no place to do anything that's going to mean anything, because it's going to down the hole.
That's
these
very
are some
good
of the
point.
Other roads, and one of my recommendations probably going to be is to maybe drop a few of these off. Some of these that are not really, either they're already developed or they're just little short connector roads, something like Pine Cone Drive, the post office is there, the commercial, the professional buildings are there. There's not much else they can do with it anyway, so... I would say we just leave it the way it is.
Now, Bill, Bridgehaven, that's over off Belterre.
Yeah.
Or is it?
Yeah,
is that what they're talking about?
Character. Yeah.
See, well, it's just where the original one says.
Oh.
Okay.
Down there by St. Joe Plaza. Yeah, down there, that's where Bridgehaven is.
It comes out on Palm Coast Parkway.
Corporate Drive, that's another one. It's all built out. So anyway, that's the...
Any other comments at this point or action?
I just hope that they don't change these buffer things too much, because you're going to change the whole look of Palm Coast if you do.
Well, I would tend to agree that we need the buffers. The buffers are important in order to not have commercial buildings like Walgreens and others that are right on the edge of the highway all the time. And I prefer not to have those unless you have, an intensive, but that's just my feeling, an intensive area of stores, then it's a kind of okay. But I don't want Palm Coast Parkway and in this case, Old Kings Road turning into that would be my own personal feeling.
No, I agree with you 100%.
But the old one.
I think we'll just, there's nothing we can do about it apparently today. And I would advise Bill that if you have doubts on it, certainly, and you want the board to review it and send a letter to help support your position, I would be, at this point, happy to do so.
Yeah. So I think that would be important when the time comes that, okay, that you voice your opinions. That,
right.
Because sometimes all you hear are the people that want
it.
Want to change it. If you're not paying attention,
right,
the people that want to think it's nothing's going to happen, and then it happens, and
you
know. Yeah. But my job, I think, is going to be to explain, if this has changed, this is what it's going to look like.
Right.
This is what you could possibly get. I always look at the worst case scenario, okay? Because that's what
you get
sometimes. Yeah. So.
And I think there are examples. For example, you had said Dunlawton Avenue. That to me is an example of a beautiful of main thoroughfare in a community, where you have the businesses that are set back and there's a lot of vegetation. And, I mean, you drive down Dunlawton, and I'm speaking of when you get off 95 going east,
right,
down to about US 1, maybe a little before there, and then it becomes the old part, and it's not the same. But there's a Walmart back there, and you can barely see the Walmart. But one thing you can see is that the parking lot is packed. And years ago, I met with the now deceased ex-mayor of Port Orange, Jim Ward was his name, and he spoke to me about their efforts to keep that Dunlawton Avenue corridor the way that it was, or the way that it ended up developed. And he said there was a lot of pressure from many elements. They were concerned about the visibility, and in fact, he was speaking to me an example of an auto parts store, and they had a color scheme also that the buildings had to conform to. And this auto parts store was not going to do it because this is their national color scheme. And they stuck to their guns and they said, well, see you then. Well, after a while, the auto parts store came back and said, we'll develop there. He said, though, as these developments went on and people could see that it was a very attractive roadway, people started driving, and car trips increased, and next thing you know, they were fighting to get onto Dunlawton Avenue, put their business there with the regulations that were in place. So I think it can go either way. Sure, anybody, I think, a business may want to increase its square footage, or a real estate firm selling property might say you can put a building this size onto that property, as opposed to a little smaller. But I think it's our job, I really look at it as our job, to make sure that we keep a character or a flavor, like Joanna was said, and like they did on Dunlawton Avenue. They kept it the way they wanted it, and it's a beautiful thoroughfare, and there's no reason we can't have anything like that. And we do. And I mean, you're the expert in that. You've done it on these the median work and the landscaping that's done. So I'm in favor of us, doing as much as we can to make it the best possible, whatever that may be.
I'm also in favor of helping you, Bill, present this so that you're not alone in it, that the committee so far seems to totally agree with you.
Yep, I agree. The only thing you have to be is very diligent, so
yes,
that there aren't two properties that are exempted, and there's nothing you can do about it at
right
this point. That's the only.
It's not going to stick out like a sore thumb. Because
I understand.
Right next to it has a 20-foot buffer.
Right.
That went in with the county. So
that was the
sorry
old Pizza Hut building you're speaking of.
Further.
The doctor's.
Yeah. Okay.
But that's at a corner.
Okay.
Anyway, any other issues or questions or points anyone wants to bring up? Okay, we have some people here waiting. So if you don't, if you want, let's bypass the meeting date thing so that we don't keep them waiting. And that's this, the back of the, oh, I'm looking at the back of the memorial, that's the memorial monument piece, right?
Yeah, we added something to the agenda, not on the agenda.
Right.
And you all have seen the proposal for Heroes Park for the post-traumatic syndrome disease issue. That is kind of stalled. The person that's running that, I think it was our last meeting talking about that, has had some health issues and things and has kind of, put it aside. Even hospice now has gotten involved somewhat, and they're very interested in moving this forward. And they've come up with an alternate sketch proposal, which we sent to you yesterday. Did you all get a chance to look at it?
Yes.
I'm going to show it to the parks team tomorrow, just preliminarily. And the only reason why, it's pretty much similar to our other monuments there. Mm-hmm. We talked about on the back maybe having individual memorials. One of the issues with the first one is that the woman doing it, appeared to be in a memorial to her son.
Yeah.
And his edging, and the parks team said, no, this is not the purpose of these major notes. We have other tertiary notes around there where you can do a memorial to a person or mm-hmm. whatever. But the main big ones are for a major group, some kind of a recognized group, like the Purple Heart group or this group that we're talking about. So we thought, well, we need to make, if we could allow on the back some smaller, they're bigger than bricks, but not something that's on the front of it. And then the rest of them could be on the pavers, just like the Purple Heart. So I didn't know what you all thought about having individual memorials on the back. I don't know where they'd be. It would probably be hard to engrave them once the monument's there, or it would be something that would be attached, a plaque or something after. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on
yeah.
it.
Well, how would you decide which ones get put on the memorial?
It's up to the group. We really don't decide who does. We
okay.
would, as a city, approve the concept.
We
approve the lettering on the front, how's this, and the concept of putting these and maybe propose a size of these, and then we decide, yeah, that's fine. So if you think this is too much, this ought to be blank, or these need to be smaller, or a little bigger than, or those are the kind of comments that we'd be looking for today.
Okay.
Well,
the rest of the monument pretty much meets the criteria of what we did for the Purple Heart.
Is the people here would like to speak?
Would you like to speak?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
My name is Kathy
Heider. Right here is the microphone.
My name is Kathy Heider, and I'm actually president of American Ghost, our Mothers for Volusia in Flagler County. We've actually started working on this memorial back in 2014. We came to the city with the idea. And then at some point it got kind of turned over to other ways. But now we're back and we're proposing that we can place this memorial in the park. Someone asked who would be placing the memorial. Was that the question that was asked about placement? Or who would be placing it?
I think placement would pretty much, we know where it's going.
It would be done by Volusia Monument.
Yeah.
And Volusia Monument is the same company that has placed the majority of the memorials there in the park. I think he's done all of them, actually. And the other thing, that's what I was getting ready to tell you, Bill. We do have the dimensions. I got the dimensions and the sizes and everything actually in an email today.
Yeah, so this doesn't have dimensions, but that's the next step. They bring this back, we'll have all that information.
Yeah, but it's basically on the same size as the Purple Hearts Memorial. Okay.
And there'll be a flag in this the spot on the front there, an American flag, a nice etched.
Etched flag.
Yes.
It will be etched. It will not be an actual flag. The whole entire memorial will be in black and white. So that flag will be etched onto the memorial.
Okay. And what is your feeling on the back side for the monument to the individuals?
On the back side, I think that it might be a good idea, but I do believe that part of the flag may be draped. I know it's going to be draped over part of the side. I don't know how far it will be draped over the back, but I can't find that out. I don't see a problem as long as each one of the areas that's designated for that memorial marker is the same size.
And then your group would have the selection criteria for who would be able to be placed. It would be your
yes.
bereaved the families. Yes. And when it's full, it's full, and then
it's full, it's
there's
full,
no...
And they will have the options of purchasing the bricks.
The bricks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other...
So it never gets full.
Okay. Is there any other...
Do you guys, amen to that.
Did you guys want to make any other statement regarding it at all here?
Kathy just brought me in because when it originally... My name is Tim Stanford. My son's on the fallen soldier. My name is alongside Kathy's. And it was one of the best moments Palm Coast has ever done for me. It was huge. It really was. It was done so easily, so effortlessly. I almost didn't do it and contact the people because of what I ran in on federal level and the problems I've had where I've been up against walls and nowhere to turn. And when I contacted Palm Coast and said, hey, they made it so simple, so easy, and that meant so much that, boom, there was, did the Memorial Day. It was really beautiful. As Kathy said, the original person doing this monument, I couldn't get behind because I'm an inclusive. I want everybody included in, not singled out. So now when she's told me that they have taken it over, it means for all the gentlemen with PTSD, I'd love to come down and sit here with you. Because, as we know, not all our soldiers were killed in combat, but all our soldiers have died from combat. So I think it's very, very, very important for these soldiers and their families to be recognized. They've hit so many barriers out there as it is, and these are the guys that keep our businesses going. We're sitting here in our houses with our big screen TVs, and we're going to Walmart, and their businesses that we all work at are open because of these guys. And, you know, it gets a little, as a Gold Star father, it gets a little annoying. I put my bumper sticker on my car and say, I support the troops. I'm off the hook. Off I go. So when I see a city like Palm Coast do what they do, I think it's huge. It's huge. So... You know, what we do now, what we say.
She thinks that if we do this, it will be the first one in the state, maybe even
in the country,
that has a memorial to this.
Well, let's move it.
You know, we originally were supportive, but as you may or may not recall, in my original questioning, I was concerned about the upkeep of it as far as the bricks and who was going to maintain it. And the fact that the first person now has gone to the wayside, you might say, kind of supports the fact and the problem I have with at least who still maintains this. And because of that, I'm highly supportive of having the plaque there. I'd like to see a better one, you know, like we originally had to be able to see what it looked like. But I'm highly supportive of that. I'm not so highly supportive for me of having the names on the back with a limited number. I agree with you. Hopefully it never fills up, but still having some limited number back there. I do like the idea of the bricks. I like the idea of somebody who's going to support the thing, though ongoing in the future. But I guess I would rather see the exact mock-up of it. I know this was a fast attempt, and we got just kind of a drawing. I love the idea of the flag going around the backside. I mean, something like that to make the monument really stand out and look good is I'm highly supportive of. And that's the only reason I'm kind of reluctant of putting plaques or name tags or somebody has to do that under the back of the thing. But other than that, I think it looks like an excellent idea for me. I'm just giving you my support.
That's a great suggestion.
Well, that's part of...
know that, too.
Right.
How do we face it? You know, depending on which way you're coming around the path, you might be seeing the back first.
Right.
You know, and they're going to wonder, what is this, you know? And then not until you go around it, you know, oh, that's the front.
Which,
you know?
Which right. one do they have it slotted for? As you come around, we hit the, if I come around, I hit the Purple Heart.
The Purple Heart is like the Purple Heart.
Yeah, I know where that is.
It's handled clockwise around. You know?
Now, is it the next one?
The
next
one.
Or is it coming back up?
If you're standing in the main area of the Heroes Park, yeah. to the left,
Yeah, that's okay. So if you know where it is, you want to go there first, you'd be going clockwise, and maybe that's where you go up the front. I don't know.
I think you tend to normally migrate to the right.
Yeah.
Purple Heart, the National Purple Heart faces, which I think is a fantastic monument. And then around, you come around, then there's one in the back, and then there's one as you come around, it's a little bit there, and I would think that would be the front. That would be my opinion, but on that. I haven't really got to talk to Kathy much, but it's like engraving on the back.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Right. No.
How would you feel about that?
I think the bricks, once again, as your worries, as mine too, is inclusiveness.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't want Bill Jones to be
Absolutely.
Here. And then Mrs. Gardner said, well, how come my son's
name?
How come
my son's name?
Well,
my
right.
name
yeah.
can't be.
Yeah.
So right. that
I think the bricks.
I think the bricks is
But otherwise.
I think it'll look better too, if you're right.
Aesthetically,
yeah.
we'll
look on the flag draping over the back. And the
I think that's a beautiful idea.
Just the 16 stone.
Yeah, that's a
good one.
Okay.
You know,
yes.
Kathy,
do you have any specific comments? I know Ken said something.
I agree with you, Kathy. I think if you take that flag and maybe you drape it around to the back, so in other words, the people coming from the back, they see part of something, then they go around the front and look at it. And then just keep the pavers, and this way everybody's on an even footing.
Yeah.
Nobody feels like they're
nobody's name on the actual memorial.
Right.
right.
The names will be engraved on the bricks.
Mm. Yes.
Yes.
And I agree with you.
I agree with you.
When this gentleman said that, I said, you know, that does kind of make sense because you're going to always have that one person that says, well, how come I can't have my son's or daughter's name or my husband's name engraved on the back of the memorial?
Right. And there's too much out there. Even in the community, there's too much exclusion going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
one
of my pet peeves. So I would highly suggest not to engrave.
One of my concerns that I had before Ken brought it up, that if you only have a certain number on the back of anything, I don't care what it is, that somebody's, then you have just a certain number of people that are allotted that space.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes a choice as to who is on there, rather than all the same gave the ultimate sacrifice.
The pain as a family on it, and the pain of the family on the bricks is the same, so
it's all the same. Terrible sacrifice.
Well, I don't think we're
That's a good point.
Today, but we didn't want to make comments.
Okay.
Yes. I'm Gina Gallister, and I'm with Haven Hospice. And I want to just say that when we were here the last time, the one thing that got to me was you mentioned was the healing of this monument that would be there for those whose sons maybe didn't even serve in the military, but we know that we've had some other heroes that have taken their lives too, and we know that there's families out there hurting, and you brought, I don't remember who said it, but you had said about how it would be a healing monument as well as the monument to what it was proposed for.
Exactly. So we would hope that that's what it is. Yeah.
Well, I know the other monument is that it gives me somewhere to go. It's really nice. And also, I didn't know about until someone told me the children's park, and that is absolutely beautiful. Back there, the kids. Whoever did, I don't know if you designed it or what, it gives you the feeling. It gives you a feeling of being in a very special place.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking of communities, understand this. You know, they can run around every day. You know, if I get the Walmart strike their houses and all that, and this will be pretty unique too. You know, and hopefully we get the word out. I'm going to place
like this. All right. Well, certainly, I think from this committee, based on the comments, we've all agreed that it would be a project worth going forward we did originally, would still just want to see the final product as far as what it looks like to make sure. But I think you've got the right person making the monument up, and the idea behind it sounds wonderful. So.
Okay. Yeah. I actually, the etching of the flag, and I've been meeting with Mike for the last 3 weeks. I've probably seen him at least once or twice a week, and we've been sitting down and going over that drawing and how that monument is going to look best, how it's going to be worded. And the last email, which I got from him today, it said that that flag would be draped somewhat over the front and the side of the memorial, but I'm going to talk to them tomorrow and see what we can do to have that flag kind of etched onto the back of it also.
Yeah, I think it would be a nice effect.
Yes. A fine artist that does the work for him, and that's why it's not showing up on that draft there.
Right.
Because the artist had not completed the artwork that she needs to do. So yes. Once we have that completed, I will bring it to Bill and he can present it here.
Absolutely, beautiful. I think it would be a lovely thing to have. So, great. Okay. Ma'am, did you have something to comment on this as well, or did you? I didn't want to exclude you.
Actually, it's my husband.
Oh, okay. So, okay.
I just. But I will say that, I mean, we've seen a lot of Gold Star family monuments, but I didn't think that we have seen so many parks, really. I think we can work really where, whether it's a Heroes Park or a Children's Park. Give you such a,
I have a question to ask you.
When you hold on.
It's okay.
She's talking.
When you do the bricks, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay.
Are you going to separate them between Afghan war and Iraq war?
Everybody's inclusive.
Everyone.
Everybody's going to be.
Everybody.
Wait, okay.
Korean War, Vietnam War.
Korean War, World War II. Veterans
okay.
of all eras. Any war.
This is for everybody.
Yeah.
This is not for anybody. Just one group of people.
We don't want to leave anybody out.
I'm sorry, were you finished as far as what you were trying to say?
For me personally, I mean, we've been to a lot of places, but and I've seen a lot of monuments. But I think this is one of the nicest ones, the Heroes Park and the Children's Park. Somehow, the city was able to capture the feeling of what it is, which is really difficult when you put a monument. But it's very special for us. It's personal, but
yes.
It does portray that feeling that
yes.
we are looking for.
The only
that's not easy to capture normally.
I agree.
The
I
only problem with it is that it's limited to my ability to move other places in the world.
No. Yeah. Good. We've trapped you in.
If you want to move close, it's there.
Yeah. But I think the city has done a real good job at trying to, you know, a lot of people criticize sometimes the money, whether it's spent for Heroes Park or for the Children's Park or for sidewalks and trails. But the simple fact is it helps make us a community, and we're aimed at certain
Absolutely.
Things, and that's what we're
Absolutely.
Trying to achieve. And I think that's wonderful that the city has done that. So.
Over the years, I've attended several of the Memorial Day ceremonies at Heroes Memorial Park this past Memorial Day. I thought it was the most beautiful ceremony that I had ever seen here at Park. It was just absolutely beautiful.
That's great. Very good.
It's a great thing.
I just see it getting even more beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, I think Palm Coast is very supportive of the military families and those that were supportive of their children and their spouses, whatever, and the Iraq and Afghanistan, even more than the Vietnam War, which was almost like a TV war that people just went about their business. But this is a great opportunity to acknowledge that the community feels strongly about it. And there is a lot of folks here that do feel very strongly and understand that where there was a lot more going than a physical wound that you may come home with, that these are just as important, and the suffering that happened was just as severe.
Just a quick story for you. We go to the monument, we're putting some flowers down, and a couple pulls up. You know, and once in a while somebody can highlight it. they come out, and the holiday was coming up, 4th of July, or 9/11, was it 9/11? And these people come out, they have pots of plants, and they go to every memorial in the front, put them there. So I'm thinking there's somebody with the city, get ready for tomorrow. Let's start talking with them. And no, it's just a couple. She lost her brother in the Vietnam War. And I spoke to her and I said, you know, we should be able to get his name.
Yeah.
Your brother. You live here, this is your community. Yeah. You know, and I tried to encourage her to contact, gave her means to contact because everybody was so friendly. And so there are just people in the family just show up and yep. Visit that area and drop off plants and off they go.
That's good. That's wonderful. All right, any other comments regarding this issue? You guys are all set? I think it's a great proposal.
So
looking forward to the...
Yes.
To you, and should we be at the next meeting next month?
If you're ready,
yeah. Yeah, if you have...
Yeah.
The next meeting is a different meeting. It is December 11th?
It is December 10th. The second Thursday in December, and it'll be at the new City Hall. Yeah, and it'll be at 5 o'clock, yeah.
Time and date, place here, because I'm not ready to
move in
the council.
Absolutely, thank you.
Thank you.
We look forward to it.
Thank you.
All right, you guys have a wonderful night. Sorry I didn't jump ahead and get you on there earlier, but...
Your wife, I'm sorry.
Hey, we had an audience.
Yep, that's fine. Next thing on the agenda is the meeting dates for 2016 calendar year. I went through the calendar, and basically every single fourth Thursday works out. I mean, I don't see any like holidays or anything else that it interferes with. As usual, the November 1 would fall on Thanksgiving, and we don't usually have a November 1. So what we usually do is go to December, and there I'm proposing, but December 15th as the December 1, but it could be the 8th. I mean, depending on what you guys feel. But usually what we do is we don't have the November 1 because obviously this time it would fall on Thanksgiving, but at any time it always is close. The 15th would be the third Thursday. It puts us, you know, at least a week away from Christmas and at least 2 weeks away from Thanksgiving. But either date, 8th or the 15th, depending on what you guys think.
And it's just, I'm fine with it. I'm just wondering if we're all good with traveling or being out of town.
Well,
yeah, if it's too close to Christmas, you could go to the 8th instead. You want to do the 8th? Bill, do you have any comments? So we'll make it December 8th.
Okay. We'll do December the 8th.
Yeah. All those in favor of accepting the fourth Thursday of each month with none on November and the second Thursday in December as our meeting dates?
Which would be the 8th.
Which would be the 8th. Proposal or...
Well, I make a motion that we accept the dates as Ken has.
In a second?
A second.
Okay. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay. So it'll be December 8th, and then it'll otherwise, forgetting November, it'll be the fourth Thursday of each month.
Thank you. Question.
Yes.
So we're moving the 10th to the 8th. We're talking about December 2015.
Oh, 2016. 16. This is all next year.
Next year.
This is all next year. Now, this nothing for this year. Everything for this year.
Like to get that on their city calendars at the end of the year so they put it out for the whole year. That's a
good one. Okay. So we have our dates for 2016. Public participation. No, next year, December of this year is still the same. Okay. Anything else from the public? Okay. How about discussion of matters not on the agenda? Anybody got any issues you want to bring up?
Yeah, questions? I want to bring up one issue. Mm-hmm. Bill, what is this, the city, what is their thing about trees and about taking down trees? Do they have they got trees down there and things about taking trees down than they used to? Because I thought before the city had a much more stringent attitude on taking down trees.
They haven't changed anything.
Okay.
Same as it's always been.
Are you seeing issues where you think trees have been taken down?
Well,
beyond
the reason I brought it up, because I live in Grand Haven and they had a symposium on trees.
Right.
And someone came in from the city and he basically said, most of the city is one tree for 2,500 square feet. In Grand Haven, it's one tree for every 1,200 square feet. Okay? And people have gone to the city to take out trees, and the guy from the city basically told us at a meeting that if it's a healthy tree and you meet your tree count, the tree can come out.
Now, you're talking, when you say tree for every 1,200 feet, are you just talking about tree-lined roads? Are you talking trees on property?
On personal property.
On property.
See, in Grand Haven, you have to have a tree for every 1,200 square feet.
Okay.
So, but if somebody, he came to our meeting and he said that if somebody wants to take a tree out, there doesn't have to be a reason why you can't take out a healthy tree as long as you meet your tree count.
Unless it's a specimen tree. Now, if it is a specimen tree, it has to have mitigation. You know, it's 1 3.5-inch caliper tree. Doesn't matter how big it is, but if you're placing 1 3.5-inch caliper tree somewhere on the property, that is mitigation. Now, if they're protected trees, anything under the specimen size and 6 inches and over, if they already have, if that removal doesn't drop it below the minimum density, they can take it out without mitigation. And they still have to maintain a minimum of one tree in the front, one in the rear, and have 40% of the trees have to be shade trees. So if they have more trees than they need, but they're all understory trees, and they try to take out a shade tree, they can't do it. They'd have to replace that shade tree with another shade tree and drop it further. John?
The only reason I asked them about if they were going to separate the wards, in Bayonne, New Jersey, across from where the Trade Center was, the people of Russia and Putin put up a big monument, a gigantic light that shines across to the water where the towers were.
Yeah,
and what they did...
That's not on the agenda. We can talk about that later, but we're talking about this right now.
We want to take care of her questions on the trees first,
right,
and then we'll get to your issue, okay?
We'll just keep it.
Right, so you can stay focused on the one issue. Now, what you're saying is that if it's 20, let me just ask this, Bill. If the city code is 2,500 square feet for X amount of trees, right? Or have to have a tree for every 2,500 square feet, basically. Okay. And Grand Haven has a rule that says 1,200. Then is it more of an issue with the HOA or whatever it is you call it?
The ADC.
Okay.
Well,
and
they have to get approval from the city, but they also have to get approval from the ADC.
Okay.
So they can come to us and ask for a permit to remove it. We're looking at it with our standards.
Right. So the 2,500.
That permit, full well knowing that it's going to drop it below what the Grand Haven is, but
right,
have a stamp on there saying that you must get in touch with your HOA. This does not constitute permission to remove the tree unless your HOA approves it. Something to that effect.
Right.
Exact wording, but yeah.
Okay. Mm. So does that answer your question now, or do you still have?
Well, because, and what is it, 6 inches, Bill? Like the trees have to be what, bigger than 6 inches?
Well, to get a tree removal permit, it needs to be greater than 6 inches. But if it's acting as a required tree, you know, like a new house, like if
right,
you've got, you know, 4 2-inch caliper trees, that doesn't mean you can go in there and take them all out without a permit because they're not 6 inches. You know, they're acting as a required tree. So they would have to get a permit to remove even smaller ones.
You're speaking of 6 inches as a diameter measurement. Right. So if you have a tape measure, it's going to be the circumference divided by pi.
There you go.
Right. I just want to make sure that answers your
question. It does. It answers my question.
Mr. Capcar? I'm sorry. You all set, Bill?
Yep.
Okay. Mr. Capcar, what were you going into then?
Okay. The reason I asked that, what the people of Russia and Putin did, they made this gigantic light that shines right across where the World Trainer Trade Center. And the way they did it, all the people that died in the World Trade Center, they made bricks for. But they made Fire Company 18, and they had the names of the people there, precinct, you know, they had it separated from the people that died in the center, the rescuers that died. So I was wondering, you know, how they were going to, you know.
As far as, you're talking about going back to the monument people here that were here?
Yeah.
Okay. I think, though, that one of the big difference, though, is that you had 3,000 people die who came from a variety, you know, different places, and there was enough of each one. Here, you're not talking about nearly that number to try to separate one war from the next. I mean, it'd be like you'd have like, you know, two Vietnam, one, you know. So I think their idea of just inclusion makes more sense. You just, because we're a smaller community. And like he was, you know, their plaque thing on the original on the back side of it would only hold like 12 plaques. And he's thinking that wouldn't even be filled with 12 plaques. So, you know, that's why I think it'd be hard to group it because you have such a small number. But
no, I agree with you. I think they're doing the right thing and by having it for everybody. Because if you want to remember someone, you're living here, maybe the person didn't live here, but you want to remember them.
Yeah.
And then you can get it by a brick.
Yeah.
And I also agree with you very much, very strongly, that there should not be the plaques in the back of the memorial.
One of the problems is the maintenance thing. Just like this, the first group kind of went to the wayside, and now this one's coming in. Part of the problem is if you try to start doing something to your monuments themselves, now you're going to end up with maybe one group that starts it off and it's engraved in a certain style. Another one comes back and they want to put larger plaques on it or something like that. That's why I would avoid it totally and just go with bricks. And your bricks are kind of a standard, you know, you get a single or a double kind of thing. And it would just be, you had to, if it's not maintained, you can always take the bricks out and resurface that. But the plaque is there forever in terms of what it represents. So
And what they were talking about driving around the circle, you know, if you're walking up and you're coming from the backside, if you see just a number of plaques, but if you see this black granite with a etched flag, that is something that would be very memorable.
Right, and you want that to really be permanent.
Yes.
And to start marking on the backside of any of those may become an impermanent or impermanent.
That's
the only reason I was really opposed to it. I'm just afraid of the look of it.
Great.
Like you say, you go around one side, you want to see something that's a really nice monument, you know. So, but other issues not on the agenda anybody wants to bring up? Discuss, Bill, was there anything?
I'll just say if you all can come to our grand opening of our new City Hall next Tuesday from 4 to 8.
4 to 8.
Guided tours led through the facility for refreshments.
And if you do that, you'll know where the December meeting is going to be. You'll figure it out.
And also, I just want to say, too, our Fantasy Lights kicks off with the city tree lighting a day early this year. It's December 1st. It's November 30th on a Monday night. They didn't want to do it on a Tuesday because the city council meets that night. So that starts at 6 o'clock. Rotary's going to have a progressive dinner with 8 or 9 or 10 local restaurants all around the lake, so you can witness the tree lighting and then get you something good to eat, and Santa will be there, and so it'll be a big night. So,
all right, super. Very That's good. Great. We're getting into those holidays now.
Yep. Quickly.
That's it. And actually, even before, as a kind of reminder for everybody, as our audience participant mentioned, we our next meeting won't be until December 10th, and it'll be at 5 p.m. at the new building. So, okay. If there's nothing else for anybody to bring up, I'll entertain a motion to...
I make a motion that we adjourn the
meeting.
Okay. I'll second it.
Okay. Mr. Papkar seconds it. All in favor? Aye.
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 We're adjourned. Happy Thanksgiving and happy Halloween.